RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Our California correspondent is Kate Dunbar of katescuriouskitchen.com. Kate is a chef, food stylist, food photographer, and published food writer. She is also a passionate traveler who loves to explore California in her Airstream with her husband, mother, two children, and fabulous chandelier awning lights. She is also a vintage trailer enthusiast who owns a 1962 Shasta Airflight SC.
Welcome back to the show, Kate.
Hi, Stephanie. Hi, Jeremy. How are you two?
Oh, we're good.
And better now that we're talking to you.
I know. I missed you guys, too.
Well, last time on episode number 15, you took us to Lake Lopez Recreation Area in California. Where are you taking us to this week?
Today, I'm taking you out of California into the beautiful Grand Canyon Railway Hotel RV Park.
Oh my gosh, we are so excited that we get to go on a road trip with you to this place. But first, we want to thank Progressive Insurance for sponsoring Campground of the Week. You can keep all of that RV stuff protected with their Personal Effects, an optional coverage that will pay to replace damaged, lost, or stolen items around your RV. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info. And Kate, where is the Grand Canyon Railway Hotel RV Park in Arizona?
It is located in historic Williams, Arizona, right smack dab on Route 66.
Now, is this about as close as you can get to the Grand Canyon in a private RV park?
Yes, it is.
About how long of a drive to the Grand Canyon from the campground?
From the campground into the Grand Canyon, there's two ways. There's taking the train in, which is the historic way of going into the South Rim, and that's about a two-hour train ride in. Or you can take a drive-in, which is about an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay. Getting to the Grand Canyon, we know you were coming there from California. About how long of a drive was that for you?
About 433 miles. So we spent a little over 7 hours driving because we had weather.
Oh, of course you had weather, right?
Yeah. We went through the desert. There was rain. There was hail. There was a big windstorm. And we had a blowout, too. So we kind of had to handle everything that way and get back on the road again.
Your weather is so much more interesting out west. It's so much more dramatic and exciting.
It's been a little dramatic this past week. Like, we were driving in 60 mile an hour winds. It was something that I think my knuckles are still a little white from it, because that's a lot of wind. And what are you going to do?
And you're towing
over or what?
You're towing an Airstream, so you got to grip that wheel tighter. You got to take care of that baby. Now, is this a good sand park? Is it associated with any discounts, or is it pretty much totally?
There's multiple discounts at this RV park. You definitely have Good Sam. You also have AAA. You have AARP, and they do a military discount as well.
Now,
they want you to see the Grand Canyon, so there are many options for discounts available.
Let's zero in a little on the size of the campground. Help us picture it in our minds.
All right, so you're going to be entering into Williams, and the great part is you get to do the famous loop, which is right down the main street, and then you'll make a left-hand turn and come right around to the backside of Williams, and there will be the huge sign that says Grand Canyon RV Park, and you pull in, and there are 124 extra-wide back-in or pull-through sites, and it is fully paved. It's completely level, and it's easy to maneuver in. I saw guys that had, let's see, from fifth wheels to small travel trailers, all pop outs to the giant motorhomes. One man had an old converted Greyhound bus, and he easily backed it into one of the spots.
Kate, how much are we going to pay for these really level, nice spots?
For the pull through, you're going to pay an average of $47.99 a night. And then for the back end, you're going to pay about $42.99 a night. And that is before the discount.
Okay, so this is the Grand Canyon, obviously one of the greatest tourist destinations in the country. Can you give us any guidance as to how far in advance we have to book these sites during different times of the year?
Absolutely. During the summer, you can book up to a year in advance, and I would. I definitely would take that time because that is their highest visiting time. And if you are even remotely thinking about spending any extra time in the Grand Canyon, if you're going to drive in there, like leave your trailer and go in and stay at one one hotel that's in the Grand Canyon, you need to make your reservations a year in advance, and you have to get going very early in the morning if you are going to drive in and not take the train. And by very early, I mean be on the road by 5 o'clock in the morning, because you're going to have to try and find a parking spot.
And with the 100th anniversary of the National Park System, I'm sure there's lots of people descending on the Grand Canyon, and it's already, I think, our second most visited national park. So if you plan on going, you need to book ahead. Tell us about amenities at the campground. What do they offer in terms of pools, playgrounds, all of that stuff?
There's a lot, because this is a two-part This is a two-part place. You have the hotel, which is over on one side of the street, and then you have the RV park, which is on the other. So you share the pool, you share the spa, you share the fitness center, which is over on the hotel side. Coming closer to the RV park, there's the playground, the volleyball court, the horseshoe, and the basketball. And then in the RV park, you have the pavilion that has your gas barbecues that are there that have no fees to use them. And then you have a large community fire pit that's there at night. And then you have laundry facilities. You have the showers are incredible. I think that I will put them higher on the cleanliness factor over Flying Flag that I did the review on. And that is noted for their bathroom.
So eat off the floor clean.
Ew.
It's really clean. I would never eat off of a bathroom floor. But it's one of those, when you walk in there, you could swear there was someone just in there cleaning it for you. It was perfect.
Now, how about accessing that pool over at the hotel? Do you have to cross the street? Is it a short walk, a long walk? Do you hop in the car and drive over? How easy is it to get to those hotel amenities?
You can do both. You can jump in your car. If it's hot during the summer and it's 120 degrees, you're going to want to drive over. And parking is free. You're part of the hotel system there, so it doesn't matter. If you don't mind walking in heat or walking in really cold, when we were just there, it was 30 degrees one morning. It was very cold. But it's just a quick 5-minute walk. So that might be a deterrence for some people that the pool isn't right there within the RV park, or they don't really mind because then they can walk around the hotel and the train station is right there and there's a couple little restaurants right in there. So there are things to do within the hotel itself.
Now, my guess is you didn't drive out to the Grand Canyon to go swimming in a hotel pool, though. So, I mean, it's there if you want it, but most people aren't that concerned.
I had to say, after driving that initial day in, it was the best thing to turn the kids into the pool because it's indoors and it's heated. So you don't have to worry about outside elements. And there's nothing better than throwing the kids in a pool after a long day of driving. It helps them. It helps us. It was perfect.
Yeah, I definitely know that can be a clinch at some point.
Yeah.
So what about Fido here? Do they have any facilities for the dogs?
there's something really amazing about this park. They have a boarding kennel there for cats and dogs. So all you have to do is when you're making your reservation, you can choose if you want your animals boarded as well, where it's air conditioned, where they're taken care of, they're fed, they're watered. Nothing is a problem because the majority of the people that stay in the RV park, they go spend a night in the Grand Canyon as well at the hotel at the El Tovar there. So they have that security knowing their animals are taken care of because you can't bring them into the park.
All right, that's a big deal. Now
it is, really affordable. It's really affordable. It was like $18 for a dog. Wow. And it was $7 for a cat. Like, this was the perfect answer.
I love that, because if you're just, even if you're just going in for the day, you're going to be gone all day.
Yeah, you board the train at 9 o'clock in the morning and you don't get back until 6 o'clock at night.
Okay. So now we know connectivity is very difficult out in this area of our country. How was the Wi-Fi? Could you even get any?
I could totally get Wi-Fi. I have AT&T and I had full service the entire time I was out there. DirecTV was working just fine. The cable was working just fine. Everything was perfect.
Okay. So you stayed connected.
I did. I was able to stay connected. The one rainy night that was there that we really didn't do too much, it was easy to turn on Netflix for the kids and here you go. Let me get everything organized. It worked perfectly.
All right. What about activities at the campground? I mean, like Jeremy said, we're here to see the Grand Canyon, but are there activities there?
No, there aren't. This is like your hotel room. Here you go. You're here to camp. You can socialize with the people around, but there wouldn't be, there wouldn't be story time. There wouldn't be like how there would be at a KOA.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't have those activities. Everything is in town, around town, at the Grand Canyon. That's the main focus. This is just your landing spot.
And frankly, that makes sense. If they had those types of things, nobody would probably come because they're not at the campground that much.
True. I mean, the most exciting place is down the road, in historic Williams on Route 66. And then you've got the sprinkling of other little fun adventures to go on.
All right. Now, I have a picture in my head of this campground. Let's zoom into the campsites themselves. You already mentioned that they're paved, level sites. What else can you tell us about the individual sites?
Each individual site has its very own trees within it. There's usually about two per. They are young. They're not fully mature, but they're getting there. They're probably a little over 10 feet tall right now. Each one has its own picnic bench that's there. There are no fire pits. And the barbecue, you would need to bring one yourself if you have a gas one and you can use it on your patio, or there are the ones that they have there for free. I didn't see anybody with a gas fire pit, but I know that they have them. It's just because the weather was kind of crazy at night and it was raining, so you didn't see that happening.
Okay.
Were you in a back-in or a pull-through site?
Pull-through.
Okay, and how was the size? I mean, did you feel close to your neighbors or not too much?
No, not at all. Not at all. This was probably one of the widest selections of any site we've ever been in. My kids were able to do their scooters all the way around the trailer, the campsite, everything. There was a lot of room.
Does it feel like a parking lot though, because the entire campground's paved, or are there enough trees there that it breaks it up?
I would say during the winter it definitely feels like a parking lot because a lot of the trees have lost their leaves. However, during the spring and summer, which if you go on their website and you see the lush green trees and you see the lush green grass that's there, it has a completely different feel. So this would be one of those seasonals. If you want all of the outdoor feel, the shade, the rustling of leaves all around your campsite and all of that, go late spring, early summer. If that doesn't affect you at all and you really don't care because you're really only going to be sleeping there at your trailer, go anytime during the year. Best time is April. Best time is April to go.
And you got there in April, right?
And we got there. Good.
And you say that because it's not 100 degrees. Is that really why April's the best time? Just because it's more temperate?
It's kind of neat because you have the different flux of the weather. Like the mountain range that's there in Williams and Flagstaff and all around the Grand Canyon has snow on it. So to see that vast, open, multicolored, layered spectacle of the Grand Canyon, and then you have a dusting of snow on top of it. mean, there's nothing better. It was absolutely insane to look at it. And then, you know, that there's skiing, there's snowboarding right near there too. So I can understand why everybody has told me always go in April. You will have the best time there because there's so much to do.
Well, this sounds like a clean, well-maintained, comfortable base camp for exploring the Grand Canyon. But what other insider details can you give us if we want to stay here at this park?
I would say if you were going to do something at the park, go online and don't just make your reservations at the campgrounds. Go into their packages. They change all the time and people don't utilize them. It was something that really blew my mind when I was talking to the hotel manager there, that people just, they book their hotel room and then they get there and then they book the train and everything. But there's a lot of discounts in those packages. So I would absolutely say, click on that drop down, find out what they have, find out what's going on, and then book your time through that portal versus just the dates.
That is such a great insider tip, Kate, because I think that most RVers don't think about package deals because most RV parks and campgrounds don't offer them. So that really is more about the fact that this is a hotel and an RV park.
Exactly. And it's been doing it for 116 years. So they've got this down. They are the cornerstone of the South Rim in the Grand Canyon. So whether you're on your honeymoon or an anniversary or a kid's first trip or anything, there really are packages built for your adventure there.
Well, Kate, this sounds like an amazing base camp for a Grand Canyon, you know, exploration, but we know nobody's perfect. What do you got for us?
I would definitely say that there are not a lot of trees in this RV park. If that is something that's important to you and you want to be out in nature, this might not be the campground for you, if that's important. And also, I would say the one thing that really, it kind of was a disappointment, was the fact that the kids' playground was across the street and an adult had to go with them. It wasn't like at a lot of, you know, the KOAs or other campgrounds that you can see the playground and it's okay to let them walk over there on their own and meet kids and do that, where you can, you know, keep them in eyesight. This would not be one of those places unless if you were going to go do an activity over near the playground, which would be basketball, volleyball, horseshoes, over that side.
All right, Kate. Well, thank you so much for that review of the Grand Canyon Railway Hotel RV Park in Arizona, right out near the South Rim of the Grand Canyon. We are going to be back in a minute with Kate from Kate's Curious Kitchen to talk all about the activities and attractions in this area and what she recommends we do when we visit the Grand Canyon.
And the big attraction, the Grand Canyon.
Back in a minute. Generations of family fun. It's what Jayco's founder, Lloyd Bontrager, set out to provide nearly 50 years ago when he started the company on the family farm in 1968.
Today, Jayco, the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is still focused on providing a way for families to create lasting memories.
From camping trailers to gas Class A motorhomes and everything in between, you'll find that Jayco offers the most standard features and the best warranty in the industry, giving you the value you want and the peace of mind you deserve.
Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are with Kate Dunbar from katescuriouskitchen.com, and she just gave us a terrific review of the Grand Canyon Railway Hotel RV Park, which, by the way, is somewhat of a mouthful, in Arizona. And now, you know, on this episode, the campground's not really the main event, if we're going to be honest. I mean, the main event is what you're going to do once you get out of the campground. So, Kate, get us started.
So you are in historic Williams, Arizona, which was one of the last big stops on Route 66 on the way from Chicago to sunny Santa Monica, California. So through the town, you're going to see old-fashioned soda fountains that you can go to, the neon lights. There are classic cars parked all over this town. There are museums, there's wine tasting, there's microbreweries, there's even fine dining, casual dining, souvenirs, Western wear, art galleries, a zip line, and just a lot of fun. And the people and the stories that are there in Williams is just as entertaining as the shops and the restaurants and everything around it.
So it's hip, it's Americana, and it's family fun, like all wrapped into one package, or is that overstating
Absolutely. I'd say probably one of the best places is this ice cream soda fountain that's down towards the end of Main Street. And so you have this great, you know, you can go get your ice cream sundae and all of that. And then you can just walk through the dining room, through the souvenir shop. And then there's this great old fashioned bar right there. And you have a lot of the old timers from town who are sitting there having their evening beers or their cocktails. And you can hear their stories and you can learn the history of the town. And then they pull out these old little relics and souvenirs from long ago, like Elvis Presley's old keychain that he left when he was driving through, to a sheriff that came through that actually gave James Dean his last speeding ticket just before he died. There's a copy of it sitting in there on the bar, to the scripts from the TV show Route 66. And they'll pull them out and let you read through them and see all the notes of the actors. And it's just fantastic.
And it sounds like so much fun that it probably takes the sting out of being over an hour away from the Grand Canyon itself, because it's an event in itself.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, and then you have Flagstaff right near there. You have Sedona right near there. It's all within that area.
Now, did you have a couple of like Kate's picks for the downtown area, places that we should make sure to stop in if, you know, we don't get into everything?
I absolutely do. And this is kind of the division of, are you going to cook while you're there, or are you going to go out and meet the people of the town and hear the story? So I chose with my family that we were going to do bare minimum in while we were there in the RV, and we were going to go out in the town and eat. So that's something really different than what I normally would do. But I found a great coffee shop and bakery that made fantastic Americanos and lattes, and that's Cafe 326. And that's literally a 3-minute drive at the most, or a 6-minute walk from the RV park. And then for breakfast or lunch, the Pine Country Restaurant, they are so sweet. There's even a coffee espresso bar inside the restaurant. Their pies are to die for. I probably had one of the best apple pies I've ever had in my life. It was just stacked full of apples. It wasn't runny and juicy. It was just perfect. And the crust, you could flake it off with your finger. And then they had this great French vanilla ice cream that I had with it. So it was hands down perfect. My kids said that the pancakes were the best. My husband loved the Monte Cristo sandwich.
Oh, I love Monte Cristos.
Mm-hmm. And they make it with their French toast that's unbelievable. So there's that. And a hint about the Pine Country Restaurant. If you get there early in the morning, if you're taking the train into the park, because you don't want to pack sandwiches or you don't want to have to do that, get a lunch to go, and they'll pack it up really quickly for you so you can take it on the train with you.
This is why I love having a food writer on Campground of the Week.
When we go to places like this that are like, you know, destinations, we really do like to enjoy the food in that area.
And Kate's all about meeting the people and tasting the food. And that's a whole philosophy of travel right there.
I've got some great stories. I have some stories that I can't even begin. And I'm starting to do the fact check on these stories just because, you know, you want to believe what they're saying. And I totally am that kind of person, like, whatever, you know, I'll buy the London Bridge from you. Not a problem. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Just give me your story. I want to hear it. And then I'll go do the fact check. And the majority of all the stories I was getting are all pretty much true. There might be a little bit of exaggeration, but I love that too. I think that's great.
Now, did you purchase some clothing or souvenirs while you were there?
I did. I definitely purchased some souvenirs and some clothing. Since I'm also a sister on the fly, I've got an adventure with them coming up, and I needed a cowboy hat. It was time for me to get mine. So I went right into the Western Outfitters and Saddlery that's there. And it's just up the street from Cafe 326. So it's a complete walking distance. And really, all of downtown Williams, the main street, you don't have to drive. You can walk the whole thing, and it's a great way to kind of stretch your lungs, because you're also up in altitude, so it helps with that. And just the number one thing I can say is constantly drink a lot of water. Be really cautious. If you are going to have any alcoholic drinks, you really need to be consuming a lot more water, because you are up at a higher altitude.
Great tip. How about any artwork or galleries?
The gallery it's called The Gallery in Williams, and there's everything from Native American art to contemporary to everything you could imagine. Pottery, painting, metalwork, woven tapestry. It's just a mix of everything you could imagine. There's even a great like army surplus store that my husband went into, and he had a blast in there. My mom went into just a kitschy souvenir shop, because they are known for having the largest Route 66 sign in a building anywhere. And it's huge. I think it's over like 6 feet tall and like 8 feet wide. This thing is ginormous. It takes the entire back wall.
So you want to plan on at least a full day dedicated to Williams, if not more, but you want to make sure that's on your itinerary.
Definitely. That absolutely. And this is where I didn't realize how my timing was off on this trip. I really should have added an extra day. We came in on Monday and we left on Thursday. We should have left on Friday.
Just for more time in Williams?
For more time, just all around. I would have definitely, we came in on Monday. Tuesday, we took that day to do Williams. And then we went to another great place that I can't wait to tell you about. And then Wednesday, we went on the train into the Grand Canyon. We had only about 3 or 4 hours there. And that's the difference. If you go in on the train, you have a set time, because if you miss that train, I will absolutely tell you this, you need to have $220 in cash in your wallet, because that's what the taxi cab ride is back.
Whoa,
into.
Okay. Yeah, so make sure you set your alarm right.
Set your alarm. Don't go hiking. One of the biggest rules about the Grand Canyon is if you go hiking on any of the trails, the amount of time that it takes you to go on that trail down, it will take you double to come back. Because most of it is going down into the canyon on trails. So you are not only tired, you're now having to travel back up a grade. And you know, 15 minutes down will take you 30 minutes to come back off that trail. Be cautious of that.
Now, you were telling us about the railroad a little bit. So let's just, you know, kind of focus on that. What else do we need to know about taking the railroad in, the Grand Canyon Railroad?
If your focus is on the maximum amount of time in the Grand Canyon, absolutely pack your lunch. Do not eat in the two restaurants at the Grand Canyon. You will waste an hour of your time. You will not be able to go on any of the trails. You will not be able to go into all the buildings, all the outhouses. You won't be able to talk to the park rangers and see the full view of it. You'll only be able to see a tiny window. So pack your lunch. And here's something else. They do not sell water bottles anywhere in the Grand Canyon. You have to bring your own in. They have refill stations everywhere. Don't worry about that. But because last year alone, this was shocking to me, they pulled out over 181 tons of garbage from our national parks. So they've made it at the Grand Canyon where they will not sell water bottles. They do not sell sodas. They do not sell anything. You have to bring it in yourself.
I bet we're going to see more and more of that, too, at all of our other national parks.
I think it should be that way. I mean, you know, that's how it used to be. My mom and dad, we had our canteens when you went camping and you filled them up, and that was your responsibility. That was part of it. So going back to that, I feel it's fine. And like I said, there are water stations everywhere. You just put your, you know, put your water bottle or your canteen under and fill it up. It's perfect. It's spring water right down from the Grand Canyon. It gets pumped up and filtered, and it's amazing.
Is the ride in beautiful on the railroad?
It's stunning, because there's an area, and I really have to look it up a little bit more because it interested my children. And a long time ago, there used to be a volcanic field out there. And so you have these remnants of these old volcanoes, and right now they're just covered, they're tip-top in snow, and then you've got all the ponderosa pines, and then you've got all the juniper, and then you've got the cattle, you have wildlife, you have a prairie setting, you get to see a wind farm in Arizona as you're going by, and you see working cattle ranches. So it's really neat. And on the train itself, there's a couple different ways that you can do it. There's an observation deck, there's a first class, there's a coach. It just depends on the package that you want to buy. If you go with first class or observation deck, there's free refreshments and food available to you the entire time you're on the trip. Or there is a food trolley that you can purchase food off of, but I can tell you they do run out.
Now, Kate, the Grand Canyon really does take a lot of advanced planning, more so than some of our other national parks. What are the kinds of things that our listeners need to make sure they go online, they book, they prepare for ahead of time?
Got it. If you want to stay at the hotel, the El Tovar there, that's 116 years old, you need to go through the Grand Canyon Railway RV Park and Hotel to book your reservation through them. If you're going to go and do an overnight and hiking and camping or river rafting or anything like that, you have to go through the National Park, the Grand Canyon South Rim, through their website, because you have to have a permit to do that. You can't just show up and walk on a trail. They need to know who's coming in and who's coming out of the park, just to keep track of everybody. And I know that UAVs are really popular with all of us who have travel trailers and RVs, just because it gets a great look of the surrounding area and they're fun to operate. However, though, in the national parks, you can't do them anymore. They're not allowed. So please keep that in your RV with you and not anywhere near the park.
Now, I think that this is something that's important to emphasize for people. You know, you're mentioning going in and staying overnight at the hotel. This is not something that a lot of RVers generally tend to do. But in the case of the Grand Canyon, it might be a really great way to actually be able to do some great hiking or some great outdoor adventure.
It is. I mean, and then the rangers, they lead hikes and everything like that. The bus tours that go around the rim and everything, they're all free. But you won't have enough time. If you take the train in and you want a full day experience, it's not going to happen. It just won't happen. You'll only get a 3-hour window.
Okay, now let's talk about some other things besides just the national park in the area that you can do. What were some of your highlights?
Our highlight, definitely, hands down, we would have done it over and over and over and over again, was going to Bearzona Wildlife Park. My kids flipped out on this. So imagine that you're driving down this road, huge ponderosa pines, and then you get this archway, this beautiful stone archway, and you have silhouettes of bears and wolves and elks and bison. And then you get to drive your car through the park and you get to see those animals up close and personal, out of cages.
How far away from the campground?
10-minute drive at the most.
Oh, that's great. So this is a must.
It's a must. Oh, hands down, you have to do it. When we pulled our car through, at one point we had black bears less than 3 feet from our car.
Oh, wow. Okay. So,
oh, yeah. It's so much fun. I mean, this is the only time of, you know, okay, I'm a bad parent. My kids, we flopped down all the seats in the Suburban. They didn't have seatbelts on. They were rolling all over the car, trying to see everything they could. And from Rocky Mountain sheep to the Arctic wolves, my husband, I thought, was going to be the one that flew out of his seat, because those are his absolute favorite thing in the world.
Oh, that's so cool.
And there were a bunch of them there. And you drive along at like 5 to 10 miles an hour. And you can pull over and stop, unless if it's an area where they say, please don't stop here. Keep moving forward. We would like you to keep driving. The bison were incredible. It reminded me of being back in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So that was a great thing to see again. And my children got to see bear cubs. Because when you finish your drive through, you can make as many loops as you want. Once you've paid, you're there. And that's how it is. However, though, if you get out of your car, you can go into the wildlife park itself, and there you get to see baby bears and porcupines and foxes, and there's a petting zoo in there with goats and pot-bellied pigs and everything. And it's so much fun.
All right, so we'll put that on our list. What else should be on our list?
I would say if you're going to do that, right down the way is the Grand Canyon Deer Farm and Petting Zoo. So you can go to another place and you can hands-on pet deer, see all about that. And it's about 8 miles away from Williams, which is just about in the same area where Bearzona is.
Now, there's also a little bit of like extraterrestrial kind of out of this world stuff going on in Winslow, right?
There is, and that was kind of the bummer that we didn't get over to there. And that was somewhere where I've always wanted to go. I was supposed to go there with Sisters on the Fly, and my family voted for Hoover Dam. So that's on my list. When I go to Texas and drive there, I'm stopping in Winslow, and I'm going to have a blast.
Now, you said you went to the Hoover Dam. How far away was that for our listeners?
If you want to take historic Route 66, it is 3 hours and 15 minutes.
But there's no other way, is there, other than Route 66?
No, there's not. It's so much fun to drive that road. And there's just the little, you can totally see the inspiration for the movie Cars. We literally were driving through towns and it was like, oh, there's Flo's Diner. And oh, there's the rock sculpture. And oh, there's this. And it's all there. Everything that movie created, right there.
I remember some very excited social media posts from you when you were doing this.
It was so much fun. I actually met the inspiration to the character, Luigi. We came home because of the little Easter eggs that the people in town told us about and watched the movie. And sure enough, there were the little hints and things. So, and I'm not going to give them away because you need to go ask the people of Williams what the story is. How did those creators, what did they do, who the characters are, and what the inspiration is, because you'll absolutely see it. It was just fantastic.
Well, Kate, we know that the Grand Canyon is just an epic destination and it's so huge, but you really helped us to just sort of narrow down our focus and you gave us some great recommendations. So we really appreciate that review of the Grand Canyon Railway Hotel RV Park in Williams, Arizona.
Now, Kate and Stephanie, are you ready for one of our 50 progressive adventures?
Let's do it.
I'm ready. And now Progressive Insurance presents 50 Progressive Adventures, unique attractions that need to be seen but are off the beaten path. If you travel to the Grand Canyon State, be sure to check out the Walnut Canyon National Monument in Flagstaff, Arizona. The cliff dwellings were built on the canyon edges, and you'll probably squeeze in a good leg workout since you have to climb some stairs for the best view. Now that's Progressive. Adventure awaits with Progressive. Sounds like fun to me.
Did you see that, Kate?
I did.
All right, good job. You hit it.
And a huge thank you to Jayco as well for sponsoring Campground of the Week. To see their full line of RVs, visit jayco.com.
And now tell our listeners, Kate, where they can find you.
They can find me on Facebook at Kate's Curious Kitchen and on Instagram at Kate's Curious Kitchen and also online at www.katescuriouskitchen.com.
And we always enjoy
what a pleasure,
checking
Kate.
You out.
It's
on
always fun
media.
Talking to you. Definitely check out my adventure that I had. It was a lot of fun and I cannot wait to go back. This is an absolute must return for my family.
All right,
and
Kate, we'll
can't wait to hear
campground.
All about it when you're back on. We'll see you at the campground.
I'll see you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.